It's time for Sunday Brunch with Simon Marnie.
Well, the magic ABC transporter has dropped me in the eastern suburbs. We're going to be doing Sunday Brunch with Sydney food identity Terry Wright. Well, this will be one of the longest serving butchers in Sydney, I'd say. Let's just knock on the back door here behind the shop. Probably the one quiet day that Terry's got off, really. There he is. He's... Terry Wright, how are you?
Oh, mate, Simon, how you going, son?
I'm not too bad. A Sunday morning, you've got the day off and the ABC's bashing down the door. What would you be doing if we weren't here?
Well, I might have gone over and seen the young ones, my mm-hmm. two granddaughters. I mean, they're my life now. You know, they're really great, and they expect me to come over each Sunday, so I'll still go this afternoon.
Well, we'll let you get off to do that, but also probably maybe a little bit of fishing if you could, because your family loves fishing.
I don't do as much as I used to because they go out fairly wide, the sun, and they might go 30-odd mile out. You know, they don't do sport fishing, which I prefer bottom fishing, but they go more for sport.
So are we at the back of the shop that you set up in, what, 1959?
We actually came here in 1945.
Wow, that long ago?
Yeah. So it's been a long while, 65 years or something, because we came here after the war years and you couldn't get a place anywhere. You know, everything was fixed rental and you were lucky to find a place because everyone was rushing back from the country areas. You know, everyone sort of migrated during the war years, especially through around the beaches and the eastern suburbs. They all cleared out. The Japs were going to get us for sure, mate. Oh, yeah, we were dead set scared of, you know.
Really?
And so Dad said, well, we better get out of here too. So we closed the shop up in Maroubra, Anzac Parade, Maroubra, just closed it up. We had a lot of tick on the books, but no chance of ever getting it. Some of the poor old women whose husbands had gone to war, they weren't getting their paychecks through, you know. It was a bit of a schmozzle. So a lot of them went back and lived with their mothers rather than live in the places they were in. So Dad said, if I can get a job somewhere, we'll go. So we found a job up in Batlow, and that's where I spent the war years. Absolutely fantastic.
Because your dad was a butcher?
Of course, yeah, all of his life, yeah.
And didn't he have a butcher shop in Balmain at one stage?
We had a butcher shop, yes, in Balmain. We had one in Roselle and one in Des Moines, yeah. But mainly in Maroubra. That's where I was born out there, Anzac Parade, Maroubra, almost on the corner of Gale Road and Anzac Parade.
Because you're an original bra boy.
No, not really. No, but I was born during the Depression years. We had a great time as a kid. We didn't know what a depression was. I used to love going, catching the tram with my father, and we'd go out to La Perouse out there, and on the left-hand side going out was a place they called Happy Valley.
Unheard of Happy Valley.
Yeah, well, that's where all the humpies were. You know, they were constructed out of just old sheets of tin and lumps of wood and everything like that, and even hessian. And the kids playing outside, and was great to see it all, you know. But thinking back now, I didn't realise why they were there. I just accepted that that's where they lived and that was it.
Because it was almost a small tent city of up to 400 people, all affected by the Depression.
Oh, yes. My highlight, I think, was to get out to La Perouse and see the snake man out there.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Aboriginals, they were really the full-blooded Aboriginals in those days, and they used to throw spears and boomerangs and, all sorts of things. And we used to go down the wharf where the ferry used to go out over to the other side, over to Kurnell, of course, yeah. I used to love to see the Aboriginal boys diving down for the coins we used to throw in off the wharf there, you know. God, they were great divers. They'd dive right down, even a high tide, right down the bottom. You could hardly see them, and they never, ever missed even a halfpenny if you threw it in. They'd get it.
We're doing Sunday Brunch in the home of Terry Wright. Now, you mentioned they were happy times, but very early on in your age, you took yourself off to Boys Town. Why did you do that?
Well, I'll tell you what happened and how I came to be there. Dad said to me, where would you like to go? And I said, Boys Town. He said, there's no chance you're getting there, son. He said, that's only for wayward kids and stuff like that. He said, what about Riverview College? And I said, no, I'd like to go to Boys Town. He said, well, I'll try. I'll write to Father Dunley and see what he has to say. So,
but why did you want to go to Boys Town?
Because I'd seen that story and it was always embedded in my mind. I still remember it today. It was called Boys Town. It was with Mickey Rooney and Spencer Tracy. He wrote to Father Dunley and they said it was since us only for a little while because Dad said he was going to look for a place for us to live in. And
because you came from quite a big family, so I guess it took the pressure off the family if you were in Boys Town.
Well, I was the youngest of 11 children, and there was only... I was the last one. My brother had started work. I was an afterthought. I mean, I had a sister, must have been pushing up probably in the very late 20s, pushing up 30, you know, so I was born then. I had a nephew. He was only 12 months younger than me, so that'll give you an idea how families were stretched out in those days, you know. I had a great time. I learned so many things. You could just learn any sort of trade at all. And I think the big attraction for me was being able to get out of school. I made myself sort of indispensable a little bit. You know, I learned so many trades that if something went wrong, I could slip in and do something, you know. I had the keys to the meat school, so that was where all the meat was and stuff like that. And I was working in the kitchen at the time as an assistant chef, where I learned a lot of my cooking. And, of course, they knew a bit about baking too. We had a lovely big everything was brand new in those days. We had a beautiful big bakery school. All this was donated. They had all the top teachers coming in, teaching all these boys. I had great opportunity.
How old were you then?
When I left there, I was 14 years of age. I started work, but I had a certificate then to qualify me. It was written out for me by the president of the Meat and Allied Trades Federation of Australia, who was Fred Forrest. And I was equal to a second-year improver, and I was 14 years of age.
14 years into the big, wide world working. Terry Wright, look, let's put it on a piece of music. I want to look through your music collection, your books and your movies. What's the first piece of music that you'd like to choose for us?
Well, I went and saw Frank Sinatra one time. I thought it was fantastic. He was down at the old Sydney Stadium. There was quite a lot of people there at the time. It was absolutely packed. I'd been down there before and seen a few fights and all that, but to actually see Frank Sinatra there at the time, I thought it was fantastic.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I got a song that I sing, I can make the rain go anytime I move my finger. Lucky me, can't you see I'm in love? Life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold the string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let it go. I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. Life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold the string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let it go. I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world.
Frank Sinatra, as we do Sunday brunch in the home of Terry Wright. You mentioned going down to Rushcutters Bay. That was a great old auditorium, wasn't it?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Some of my heroes fought down there on the day. I mean, I had a great lot of time, and I thought one of the best fighters I'd ever seen in my life was Dave Sands.
Dave Sands, tell me about Dave Sands.
Oh, Dave Sands was an incredible man, mate. He should have been middleweight champion of the world. As a matter of fact, when the actual crown was passed to Bobo Olsen by Sugar Ray Robinson, Bobo Olsen said this should belong to Dave Sands.
those of us who'd never seen Dave Sands, who was he?
He was an Aboriginal boy, and he had six brothers. They were all fantastic fighters. He came from up at Kempsey Way.
I heard of one fighter. Dad was a butcher. He grew up in Maroubra, who could have been pretty good. What was his name? Terry. Terry.
Oh, I wasn't that good. I was only amateur, but I did enjoy. That was one of the skills I picked up in Boys Town. We had some very, very, very good trainers up there who used to come every Sunday, sometimes Saturday, and they'd coach us in the boxing.
Because many people don't realise that boxing was a weekend. You would go off and earn a few bucks by having a boxing match.
Well, that was one of the highlights of a weekend. You know, Saturday and Sunday, other than dancing, which we used to go to when I grew older, but the big attraction wasn't so much football, it was boxing. I remember we had news theatres. You know, I remember one fight there was between Vic Patrick and Tommy Burns. That fight that was on there at the stadium, there was about 2,000 people standing around outside listening to trannies. Can you believe that? 2,000 people that couldn't get into the stadium. But they had the newsreel there so you could go and see the actual fight on the newsreel, and people just queued up for a full week. They had it running constantly all the time during the day to see that Vic Patrick and Tommy Burns fight.
In fact, you actually published a series of memoirs, and in there is what that photo indeed, and it's a great photo.
There is a photo in that little book that I'd done. How I'd come to do that was I was invited to the 70th birthday of Boys Town. And they invited me along, and I was just over the moon, so I thought, gosh, you know, why don't I write some old memoirs of Boys Town and give them to the kids up there? So I did. And a friend of mine, Tom Thompson, as a matter of fact, he published it for me. He thought it was excellent, yeah.
On 702 ABC Sydney, we're doing Sunday Brunch in the home of Terry Wright. Speaking of books, if I was to get you to pull three books off the bookshelf, what would be the first one?
Well, I think the first one would have to be The Cattle King, because I've only just read it, you know, a week or so ago. As a matter of fact, there again, Tom Thompson, he gave it to me, and I was so surprised, but I didn't know when I opened it up inside. It was sent to a bloke that was going to England, and in those days you took a whole library with you because you were so long on the boats going to England. It was the only way you could get there. He said, have a look inside. So it's got here, to Alfred House, with a very good wishes for the pleasant trip to England. And can you see who signed it there?
Now that is Anglis, isn't it?
Bill Anglis, would you believe that?
Anglis Meats.
Anglis Meats, Sir William Anglis. And the fellow the book is made about, Sir Sidney Kidman.
That's right.
And it's a fantastic book, written by Ian Idris. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. There were some funny things in it too, you know. I could have a real good laugh and chuckle. It's his life history, you might say. He had more land than any man in the British Empire.
Wow.
He just owned so much land and so much cattle, and Bill Angus, well, I mean, he was a remarkable man himself. He owned so many meatworks right throughout Australia and New Zealand.
The first book from Terry Wright, The Cattle King, as we do Sunday Brunch. The second book?
Well, I'd have to say definitely the second book was another book I've only just received. You can see the heading of it there. It's from Butcher Boys to Meat Men. And that was written by my other friend, Tom's wife, Elizabeth Butel.
Now, it says underneath, the history of the Meat and Allied Trades Federation of Australia, 1928 to 1985, because the butchering industry has changed remarkably, hasn't it?
When we formed our organisation, which is called Meat and Allied Trades Federation of Australia, MATFA, and that's why we wanted to capture this before we lost the history, and we've done it.
Because many people don't realise, and it goes back to your dad's shop in Maroubra, there were, in any one street, four or five butcher shops in any one town.
Within 200 yards of here, there was a butcher shop just on the next corner where that bike shop is.
Oh, really?
I worked in it, yeah. And there was another big shop up the road, and there was three up in Frenchman's Road. There were shops everywhere in those days.
But people shopped for meat differently in those days, Terry.
They ate more meat too. People would eat meat three times a day back in the real old days, you know. They'd get there for breakfast, meat for breakfast for the old man before he went to work. And then they'd send him along with some cold meat sandwiches, and he'd come home, he'd want another baked dinner. Yeah.
It is From Butcher Boys to Meat Men, of the History of the Meat and Allied Trades Federation of Australia by Elizabeth Butel, the second book, the final book from Terry Wright.
Well, I don't know. What's wrong with that little book I wrote?
What is wrong with that little book you wrote?
I reckon it's good. I'll go with that one. There it is. There, look.
Now, Memories of Boys Town by Terry Wright. And look, that is a young Terry Wright with a big, huge saw on a huge wooden block being overseen by a gentleman in a white coat.
Yes, that was Fred Forrest. But look up here on the blackboard what the things that he taught us in those days. Up the top there is one of the things that we don't have to worry about today. They're all order takers in the butcher shops today. But in those days, you had to be a good salesman because you had to sell everything to come into your shop.
Right.
But today they can buy cartons of this or cartons of that if they sell them, you know. But in those days, you know, if you wanted 20 shanks, I mean, you'd have to wait for 3 or 4 weeks to get the, because you'd have to get in the waiting list for them.
There's only four on each carcass.
Yeah, well, that's right. And the same with brains and fries and stuff like that. And even with tripe, you know, you had to put your order in, otherwise you just never got it. And every skerrick of meat had to be sold because we never had the refrigeration that we have today. And the other thing that they've written there on the board is you had to have good, you had to be appearance, speech, manners and knowledge. Knowledge of what type of meat you were selling, what you were selling it for.
There we go, the four traits of being a good butcher. What are they? Appearance, speech,
manners,
and
knowledge.
And how old's Terry Wright that's soaring through there?
I probably was 12 years old.
12 years old.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. Well, I did do a little bit of butchering even before that because having my father as a butcher.
Well, I'm flicking through. There's Terry Wright in the boxing ring at what looks like Randwick. There you are with you and your card. Just after the chapter, The Night I Spent in Girls Town. We won't go into that. But look at that. Yeah. Aged 18.
That's 1927 Master Buick Tourer. It was a joint of a thing.
We're doing Sunday Brunch in the home of Terry Wright. Let's put on another piece of music. What's the second song that you'd like to put on for us, Terry?
I love songs. I used to play a clarinet and a saxophone at one time, but when I got married, I had to sell my sax. It was worth a bit of money, and I needed the money, so I sold it. But I always liked Nat King Cole, you know, and I think Unforgettable was one of my favourite songs, and I think it still is today.
Unforgettable, that's what you are. Unforgettable, though near or far, like a song of love that clings to me. How the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too. Unforgettable in every way. And forevermore,
That's how you stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
On 702 ABC Sydney, an unforgettable track as we do Sunday Brunch in the home of Terry Wright. If you started being a butcher at age 12 when you were doing those, how long does that mean you've been a butcher for?
Gosh, it must be what, 65 years or more.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I've enjoyed every minute of it. And I still love to get in the shop on the Saturday and that and see the old customers, or any time they're short in the shop. I love it, every minute of it. I still enjoy it, although I haven't got the stamina that I used to have.
But that's the great leveller about that, is that no matter who's in your shop, you look around, it could be a High Court judge, it could be a former Sydney business identity or racing identity. You never know who's in there, do you?
Yeah, well, I've worked in the eastern suburbs the whole of my life in different parts when I was managing shops at Kenzo.
Because one of the things that people might not know about you is that the Terry Wright Sunday afternoon barbecue was a pretty famous barbecue. I think Ward Pally Austin and Donnie Sutherland.
Oh, yeah, we used to have some fabulous barbecues here when I was much, much younger. Yeah, Donnie used to come here every Sunday religiously. And, of course, the kids would race in and say, "Oh, Mr. Wright," because I never ever heard his Saturday program because I was always flat out in the shop. But the kids would race in and say, "Hey, Mr. Wright, can I come to your place tomorrow for lunch for barbecue?" I said, "Why?" She said, "Oh, because Donnie Sutherland said he was coming here." And, of course, Pally Ward Austin, yeah, he was a fabulous bloke. But I had trouble getting rid of him. He'd be here for all hours of the morning sometimes, and I had to start early in the morning, and he, you know, but he was a hell of a nice bloke. But I quite often had to get a cab for him and put him in it and send him home, you know.
But that also bring people, if they were playing in town, the place to be was Terry Wright's for the barbecue.
Yeah, we had some fabulous guests here over the years. Yeah, I can't remember the half of them, but some of the showgirls and things like that, we used to have some fabulous times here. And some of the jockeys and stuff like that. Because Donnie was a jockey in his young days, you know.
I know that.
Yeah, Donnie Sutherland was a jockey. Yeah, very few people did. Yeah, but he was a jockey, yeah.
Because those days where you'd set yourself up as a butcher and you weren't boxing, the nightlife of Sydney was a particularly great place. I'm thinking of the old clubs in those days.
Oh, yes. When I was younger, of course, dancing was a big thing in those days. There was dances everywhere, all throughout Sydney. You know, we used to go to Surreyville, Paddo Town Hall. There was a dance everywhere. One of the best dances was down at the Bronte Surf Club on a Sunday night. Oh, there used to be a fabulous dance down there. A lot of the musicians used to come down there and free of charge and just sit down and fill in with some of them. We'd have nothing for us to have a 15, 20-piece orchestra down there. But they were big orchestras in those days, you know. We used to go to the Sydney Town Hall. They'd have 20 or 30-piece orchestra down there with Bobby Lim's band, or fabulous bands around in those days.
And you'd all get dressed up to the nines. It was a proper night out.
Yes. In the winter time, I always remember we used to have overcoats on, but you don't have winters like that anymore. I used to have a camel hair overcoat, you know, up around my neck to keep me nice and warm.
On 702 ABC Sydney, we're doing Sunday Brunch in the home of Terry Wright. If I was to look through the movies that Terry Wright likes, I would imagine that Boys Town would have to be in there.
Well, it's a funny thing you should say that. Probably that movie still sticks in my mind because, you know, I love Mickey Rooney. He was a fantastic fella. He come out here to Australia, you know, and appeared up in Boys Town later on, but I never ever met him. But he was a fabulous man. And, of course, Spencer Tracy, I think he was one of my favourite actors, you know. I couldn't help. I love his other show too, the African Queen, you know, with Catherine Hepburn, yeah. But, I love that show, and, I mean, it had such an influence on my life over the years. You know, I'll tell you another show I liked, a favourite of mine, my favourite actor, Russell Crowe. I seen this show the other day, Robin Hood. I thought it was fantastic.
I haven't seen it because
Don't miss it before it goes off. It's a great show. He's a wonderful actor.
So that's the second film is Robin Hood. The third film, not so much a film, but just the series he used to go and watch.
Oh, gosh, you know what? We used to go just to watch either. We always had a newsreel, but we used to go to watch the serials.
Mm-hmm.
And there was every Saturday afternoon, everyone would go to the show to watch the serials. You know, that there'd be Speed Gordon or Charlie Chan.
So what would happen? You'd have a different episode every week. Is that how it would work?
Yeah, it was like a serial. That's why they got you back, so you wouldn't miss the serial. You know, miss the next episode of it. Yeah. When I was a kid, that's what you'd go and see. This Dick Tracy, of course, and lots of things like that. Keystone Cops, yeah. I went and saw where they used to do that film, a place in Los Angeles where they filmed the whole place there. Yeah, a friend of ours had a tea rooms there, yeah. Well, they used to come around and all, they'd be clinging onto the side of the fire engine and, you know, falling off and all sorts of things there. Of course, the Marx Brothers, they were great, weren't they? Oh, gosh, gee, you'd bust your sides watching them.
Terry Wright, when you look back at all the years of being a butcher, because you've sold meat to some of the richest people in Australia, some of the most just neighbourly people in Australia, it's got to have been a pretty good existence.
Well, I've enjoyed it all, but I never let people know, just family that I serve. That's their business, and that's one of the reasons why I serve them. As a matter of fact, one of the best trips I ever had, I went with a butler one time, and I said to him, why have they picked me to serve me? He said, they found out all about your history and everything like that before they selected you as their butcher. And they used to travel just for miles just to pick the meat up and then travel for miles to take it away to cook it, even if it was only a couple of chops. And they were the days, but I never talk about any of the ones that you know, it's always been my...
It's been a pretty good career, though, hasn't it, for a 12-year-old from Boystown?
Yeah, I've loved every minute of it, yeah, and I've loved just being here.
Terry Wright, let's put on another piece of music. I've got to get back to the ABC Grandstand on shortly in the news. What's the song that's going to get me back to the studios?
Well, I think if I had another choice, I think I'd say Fly Me to the Moon with Jack Jones.
Shall we put that on?
Certainly, yeah. It's a great song.
Terry Wright, thank you for allowing us into your home for Sunday brunch.
Thank you, Simon.
Poets often use many words to say a simple thing. It takes thought and time and rhyme to make a poem sing. With music and words I've been playing. For you I have written a song. To be sure that you'll know what I'm saying, I'll translate as I go along. Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. With song and let me sing forevermore.